and to grow from strength to strength in our relationship with you and to experience more of you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon called Look at Me. And we looked at the story of Jesus and Peter when they were walking on the water. And Peter begins to walk towards Jesus. And instead of looking at Jesus, he begins to look at the wind and the waves all around him. And he begins to sink. And Jesus reaches down and pulls him out. And Jesus is calling to us this year and this season. He's saying, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Don't look at the circumstances of your lives. Don't look at the wind and the waves of the things going all around you. But look at me. And listen to me. And get perspective from me for your circumstances. So that you can continue to walk on the water with me. And as I have been reading through the story of Israel and their journey of God, I've been struck at the number of times as a people how they were doing the very same thing. Have you noticed that? Those of you who are reading through the Bible with us, I hope you all are. It's an amazing journey. As I've been reading through it, they take their eyes off this miraculous and mighty God that has just delivered them, and instead they focus their eyes on their circumstances. We just sang about that, how they came out of slavery, and they sang a song of praise to God. And then do you know what happens in the very next section of the story? They start grumbling and complaining. And it is just the beginning of this journey of constant grumbling and complaining. I want us to have a quick look at it. We're just going to kind of rush through the different scriptures that you have hopefully already read through. In Exodus chapter 15, again, they've just come out through the Red Sea. They've been delivered. Their enemies are destroyed. They've sang this amazing praise to God. And then the very next verse is, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. And so the people grumbled against Moses. What are we to drink? Chapter 16, verse 2, a little bit further. God speaks to them in that situation. They go on in the desert. The whole community grumbles against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. What a thing to say. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert, Moses, to starve this entire assembly to death. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And what does God do? He provides manna for them. He provides this manna for them that falls out of the sky every morning. They can go and pick it up, and it's their food for the day, and it tastes like honey, and it's what sustains them through all of their time in their wandering in the desert. We go on to chapter 17. Again, the people come into a situation where they don't have any water to drink. And it's, oh, thank you, that's timely. Were you waiting for that moment? Something prophetic there? There was no water to drink. So, but the people were thirsty for water there. And they grumbled against Moses. He said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? The journey continues when we get to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. So the people had been given the manna. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And in this particular situation, as a result of their complaints and their grumbling, God sends, there's a consequence to our grumbling and our complaining. God sends a fire to burn the outside of the camp. And it then says that the rebel with them began to crave other food. So they've just been given the manna, and now they're complaining because they only have manna. And again, the Israelites start wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We never see anything but this manna. The consequence this time is that God responds, and he does give them meat, and he provides quail for them. But they had to eat it until they loathed it. And they finally got to the place where it was just like coming out of their nostrils, the scripture says. They loathed the meat. You want meat? Here you go. In chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron, there's this story, and they begin talking against Moses, grumbling and complaining about Moses, about their leader. And so there's a consequence here, too. God gets angry again at their grumbling and complaining, and particularly against the leader that he had established over them. And Miriam gets leprosy. She gets afflicted with leprosy. And as a result, Moses has to intercede for her, and she finally is delivered and healed. In chapter 13 and 14, we see where God tells them to send 12 people, 12 men, into this land that he's promised to them, flowing with milk and honey. I want you to go check out the land. I want you to go see what's there. And then come back and bring a report to us. And the 12 came back. 10 of them gave a bad report. And they said, we can't do it. They're too strong for us in that place. And their eyes were completely on their circumstances and the people and the giants that were in that land and all the impossibilities. And so as a result, that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, and there they go again. Or if we died in the desert, why is God bringing us here to fall by the sword, for our children to die, for us to become plunder? Grumble, grumble, grumble. The consequence this time is extremely significant. It's as almost as if God has got to the point where enough is enough. And he says to those that he had brought out, to the adults, you will not enter the promised land. And you and your children will have to suffer for 40 years as a result of your grumbling and your complaining and your disobedience. And those who had led the way in the rebellion were struck dead. The next story, chapter 16 of Numbers, Korah and a group of other men again come and begin to oppose Moses. And the consequence for them was that the earth opened up and swallowed them up for their grumbling and complaining and opposing God's leader. Korah and others became insolent, came as a group to oppose the leadership of Moses. The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron as if they are the ones that did it. They said, you have killed the Lord's people. And the other consequence that happened at that moment was almost 15,000 people died from a plague. And as I'm reading through this, it's just striking me. Of what God feels and what he thinks about our grumbling and our complaining. And how serious of an issue that it really is to him. And therefore also needs to be to us. There's one other example that we're going to look at from Numbers before we get there. I think the simple message today is that grumbling and complaining is a sin. And it's a clear indication that the eyes of our hearts are not on Jesus, and our grumblings and our complaints always carry consequences in our lives. The New Testament talks about this as well. There's a scripture in Philippians that says, in everything, don't complain and grumble. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 10 as well. He actually refers to this very story and says, don't be like them back in the Old Testament. Don't grumble like they did and therefore have to experience consequences of grumbling and complaining. So I want us to just get real this morning with this truth. And I'm going to ask you to right now to just bow your heads. And not so much as a time to pray, but as a time to just not be distracted by anything and anyone. And I just want you to take a few moments and get real with your own heart. How many times this morning have you already grumbled and complained about something? Maybe it wasn't even out loud. Maybe it was just in your own heart. Think back to the last week. In your home, at work, at school, in your comings and goings, where do you find that you have given in to this grumbling and complaining? Parents, have you grumbled and complained about your kids? Parents, or children, have you grumbled and complained about your parents? Spouses, have you grumbled and complained about each other or to each other? Brothers and sisters, students, have you complained about your teachers or grumbled about your homework? At work, have you been grumbling and complaining about the people you have to work with or the situations that are there? What about your health? Have you been grumbling and complaining about your health or lack thereof? Good health. What about the grumblings and complainings when we don't have what we think we should have? Or when we do have things that then cause us stress and they become a burden to us and we've been complaining about what we do have? What about grumbling and complaining about people because they don't do what they said they would do or what you think they should do? Grumbling and complaining when people annoy us. Or we just simply don't get what we want, whether it's in a relationship or money or our sleep even or a job or an answer to prayer. And the response of our heart is to grumble and to complain. We just want to allow the Holy Spirit to identify to us as I was preparing for this sermon, God was just revealing to me my own complaints, my own grumblings. In his gentle way, but his very stern way. Candace, you've got your eyes off me in this situation. You've been grumbling and complaining. We got to deal with that. That needs to change. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just continue to open the eyes of our hearts to see what we need to see about our own hearts and our own lives when it comes to grumbling and complaining. And we ask that as we continue, that you would show us the way out. And that you'd open up our eyes what you have for us on the other side of our grumbles and our complaints. Amen. The last scripture in Numbers 21 that we're going to look at, we're going to actually listen to a preacher who's from the Ukraine, but he lives in the USA and pastors a church there. And this clip is part of his sermon that he preaches on spiritual warfare. And it's highlighting areas in our lives that we participate in that actually are open invitations for the enemy to come in and oppress us and deceive us and attack us. We call them open doors to the enemy. And in his last point, he takes us to Numbers 21 and this issue of murmuring and complaining and grumbling and how there are consequences for us, just like there are consequences for Israel. But he also gives us the solution and how to overcome. As you're listening, some of you might find him a bit intense, maybe even a little in your face as he preaches. But may I ask that you simply just try to hear the comment and what he's trying to communicate to us, because I believe it's really significant revelation for us to help us keep our eyes on Jesus and to help us in this season where we're really crying out to God, saying, I want to encounter you, God. I want to encounter you. Because grumbling and complaining is part of what hinders us from experiencing more of the love and presence of God that we desire. So let's have a listen together.
Last one. Murmuring. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 until verse 6. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and there is no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit people, and many of the Israel, people of Israel, died. I genuinely believe, I'm not talking about occasional murmuring, I'm talking about a murmuring that has become part of your character. That opens the door to demonic. Write this down. Murmuring or complaining does to Satan what worship does to God. God inhabits the praises of his people. Satan inhabits the complaints of his people. God seeks such that worship him in spirit and in truth. Satan seeks that complain to him and grumble and whine. What worship does to God, grumbling, complaining, whining does to Satan. It's an open invitation for a snake bite. You might not have a snake in you, but you will have it bite you. It's important to see this, that murmuring and complaining is a character issue, not a circumstance issue. Israel had more miracles happen to them in the wilderness than many of us will ever experience in our life. It's interesting. None of the miracles ever fixed their complaining problem. The problem wasn't with circumstances. The problem was with character. It took one thing not to show up on time, and they go again, whining and complaining and complaining and whining. And I want you to remember today that your character is not made up because of your circumstances. It's a byproduct of your choices. To blame your character on your circumstances is to blame your mirror for your bad hair. Your mirror only reflects that you have a bad hair. Your mirror didn't make it like that. Your circumstances only reflect that you are a complaining person. It didn't make you a complaining person. And Israel complained, 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 complained. And this was their character. And yes, they always blame the circumstances. Anytime people blame the circumstances, anytime people throw a self-pity party, anytime people live in this, whoa, little me, all of that is a character. It's not your life situation problem. And your character is a result of your choices. Your character is the result of your choices. And the first change will happen, how your character gets changed, if you stop excusing your attitude and blaming it on your circumstances. Your life might be tough, your life might be rough, but at the same time it is your character. And that character opens the door for the demonic. Having a conversation with Bob Larson, he told me something that really puzzled me. He said, Vlad, two people can commit same sins, even a cult. They can be, two people can be involved in a cult. One person quickly just repents and everything is done with. The other person, he said, will have a demon torment them for the rest of their life. And I said, well, what is the secret? He says, emotional and mental weakness. He says, I've dealt with over 30,000 demonic cases and I can tell you one thing. If people grew up and inside of them there is that healthy emotional strength, he says, demons are repelled by that. He says, you have to understand, demons respect human will. They respect human choice. And they respect strong character. That's why you see people who are ungodly many times, who will not even have demons, because there's a strong character that is full of positivity and it repels demonic serpents. Demons are attracted to complaining people. And maybe you excuse yourself today and you say, the reason I am negative, the reason why I complain, the reason I whine all the time is because my life is tough. I have a newsflash, you won't like it what I'm gonna say, but the reason why you're a complaining person, because you are a complaining person. That's all. This manna that God gave them, that was a miracle. You know what they said about it? Worthless. Why? Because when you're a complaining person, you look for things to complain. You could praise God for a manna. It's angels' food. You say it's worthless. Why? Because a complaining person, like a magnet, only gravitates and finds things to complain about. And unfortunately, not only you're hard to live with, not only you, it's hard to have you as a sibling, it's hard to have you as a spouse, it's hard to have you as a child, not only it's hard to have you as an employee or an employer, it's good to have you in the kingdom of darkness. Satan and demons, we see clearly, fiery serpents started to bite complaining people. You know what happened when they bit them? They became poisoned. Remember this, complaining tolerated is faith contaminated. The way these demons hurt you is they contaminate you inside. Where your faith is contaminated, you don't see beyond your present situation. You don't see beyond your sickness. You don't see beyond what somebody said. You literally, you're stuck. The time is ticking. You're stuck. Everything moves forward except you. And what those demons do, they infuse you with poison. They contaminate your faith. And when your faith is contaminated, you're disillusioned. You're disoriented. You're confused. Everything is dark. You can be in the same situation as other people, but you're lost. The only way to fix complaining, the only way to fix complaining is to replace it with thanksgiving. That's all. There is no deliverance. You can't be delivered from this. You can only make a choice to be thankful. Bible says in Thessalonians this, in everything, you have a job or you don't, people like you or they don't, you got laid off or you got promoted, you're sick or you're healthy, the doctor's report came positive or negative, in everything. See, God knows what opens the door for the demonic. And God is warning us and He is encouraging us. He says, not for everything, but in everything. You feel good or you don't feel good. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. You want to know God's will for your life? Praise Him in everything. You want to know what God wants you to do in this season of your life? Thank Him. In everything. See, most of us say thanksgiving is only for something, but God says thanksgiving is in everything. You know what we're thankful for? In Psalm helps us to understand. In Psalm 100 verse 5, it says this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. This scripture revolutionized my praise. Because like many of us in here, I thank God because I have a house, mortgage paid for, my car didn't break down, beautiful wife, I have a ministry, my health is good, gaining new followers every day on Instagram. Praise be to God. That's a very big praise report. Everybody seems to like me. I have a watch that I like. I have a phone that I like. And I have everything nice. And so that is what I'm thankful for to God. The problem with that kind of a thanksgiving, it takes my phone to fall from my hand on the ground. And my thanksgiving went down with it. And God says in here what to thank him for. One of the reasons we don't thank God is because we thank God majorly for wrong things. He says to thank him for this: for the Lord is good. See, we're thanking God because I am good. We thank God because my health is good. My finances is good. My relationship is good. But sometimes when it's not good, God says, still thank me because the Lord is good. I feel good. I don't feel good. But God is still good. Can somebody say amen? And then he says this: his mercy is everlasting. That means my situation is not everlasting. My situation will not last. My sickness will not last. Even if I don't get healed, when I die, my sickness will die with me. My problem will not last. God's mercy is everlasting. And then he says, and his truth endures to all generation. That means nothing will endure in my life except God's truth. What God says about me will endure. That's why you have to praise. That's why you have to thank. If you don't develop a character of gratefulness and thankful to God, you develop a sour disface. The demon says, you come to church and demon says, ah, we got one today. We got one. They'll sit in church and we'll still hurt them. You can be on the worship team and have a bad heart. Character. You can be in a leadership team and have that character. It takes one small thing. One thing pastor said. One thing somebody did. Somebody said or somebody gossiped. And that's it. And your face is sucked out. Somebody took a vacuum and took all of that stuff out. Because you're never really thankful to God because he is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. You are thankful to God because you have a job and because you have clothes and because people like you. And that is a wrong reason to thank God for. Your character must be avoid empty of complaining, because that opens the money. Even if you like to complain, you cannot take the chance, because demons will come to you. You will feel that in your soul. Spirit of heaviness, spirit of fear, and spirit of depression. In the conclusion,
today, as we reflect on that, as we take that in, there might be some of us here who have a heart that is habitually and constantly complaining and grumbling. There might be just others of us that it is a particular situation or a person that God has highlighted when we are waiting on him that we have been grumbling and complaining about. What is God speaking and revealing to you today about this issue? About your own heart. We don't come to church just to hear a great sermon. We come to church to be transformed and changed, to encounter our God, to hear the word and say, how does that word apply to my life? What do I need to do, Lord, in response to this word? I just want to give a summary of the things that I think are really important for us from what he said. First of all, God inhabits and responds to the praises of his people. God seeks for us to worship him in spirit and truth. And in the same way, our enemy, the enemy of our souls, is around, looking around. It says, scripture says, our enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for people to devour. He's looking for those complaints and those grumblings so that he can bite. Could some of the things that we are experiencing actually be a result of our complaining, grumbling attitudes? Secondly, he said, murmuring and complaining is not a circumstance issue. It is a character issue. I remember I first heard this sermon. That just hit me so strongly as God was identifying areas of complaint and grumblings in my own life and realizing that's a character issue. I've got a character issue. It's not because my circumstances are the way they are. It's because about how I'm choosing to respond to them. Whatever is happening in your life, you have a choice of how you're going to respond to it. And today is a new day, thankfully. You can make the change today in your choices and go from complaining and grumbling to thankful and praise. Third, he said, complaining tolerated is faith contaminated. I can testify to this. When I tolerate complaints and grumblings in my own heart, it weakens my faith. I struggle to believe who God is and what he has said. I struggle to connect with God, struggle to hear from God, struggle to be close to God, struggle to do the very thing that we're wanting to do in 2018 and encounter God. Complaining tolerated is my faith contaminated by that poison that the enemy brings and that he builds upon. Once he bites us, he poisons us so that we have further complaints. And then we begin to believe lies and we become disillusioned and we become depressed. And what started with one little complaint snowballs into me having a real faith struggle because I complained, because I grumbled. Fourthly, the only way to fix complaining is to replace it with being thankful. Thankful to God for who he is, what he's done for us. His goodness, his mercy, his amazing grace. And those are the things that we are going to do. We're going to invite us to do and respond to in our worship today. One of the greatest consequences that I think there is to a complaining heart is that it steals our joy. Steals your joy. Complaints and grumblings and joy can't reside at the same time. You see, because our complaints and our grumblings actually grieve the Spirit of God who brings joy to our lives. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, joy. But when we're grieving the Spirit in our complaining and grumbling, then joy begins to move further and further away from us. And this past Monday, in our staff prayer, we had a time of waiting on the Lord. And Carrie got a word. I invite you to come forward. She got a word that I believe is significant for us. As I heard her share the word, I somehow knew already in that moment that it was significant for today, and I didn't even know what I was going to be preaching about yet. So I believe it's a word that he is wanting to speak to us, that this is God's heart for us. When God spoke to her about finding joy in him and how to do that and how that works, and it is an antidote to our complaining and our grumbling.
Thank you. So when we were worshiping, the Lord said to me, "Find your joy in me." And I, as always, said, "But Lord, how do we do that when things are really hard?" And so he directed me to have a look at the section in the Bible about joy, and I went through and he highlighted three scriptures to me, and it was the answer to my question of how to find joy. So the first one was in Nehemiah, I can never say it properly, 8:10, and it highlights that God is our strength. It says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So he was saying to me, I am your strength. That's where it starts. Then he showed me how he does that by providing the Holy Spirit for us. And that was in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, where it says, in the midst of severe suffering, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So no matter how severe your suffering, the Holy Spirit will support you. He is your strength, and he says, here is how I will give you the strength. It is through the Holy Spirit. And then he directed me to Hebrews 13:17, and he showed, okay, so Lord, you're my strength, and you've given me the Holy Spirit. And he says, but he will also surround you with a network to help you with that. So Hebrews 13:17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So he's saying he also provides us with a network of people through our church to surround us with support, and that if we trust them, they'll be able to build us up in times of hardship and help us learn about the Holy Spirit, help us learn about God's strength. And then it finishes after 13:17 with the words, pray for us. So again, it brings us all together. Here's our strength. He gives us the Holy Spirit and provides it. But he also says, come together and trust your leaders so that they can pray for you and we can pray for one of another. And that's how he brings it into a workable plan. And I was like, wow, Lord, that was an amazing answer. So.
Thank you. And again, when we are struggling in our situations, instead of the grumbling and complaints, part of what that word is revealing to us is what to do instead. To come to the Lord for strength. Ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, how do I need to see this situation? What do you want to speak to me in this situation, Holy Spirit? And inviting the people that are in this faith journey with you, your small group, your church family, and your pastors and your leaders into that journey to say, I need help here. I don't want to complain about this. I need help. Will you pray for me? Will you help me to see this situation in a godly way? Will you help me to maneuver through this situation in a godly way? Some of us here today might have a heart that is habitually and constantly grumbling and complaining. And God's put his finger on that today. And he wants to change that today. Some of us might just have certain situations and in situations where God's highlighting, saying, you've been grumbling, you're complaining, and that needs to stop today. Let's turn this around together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Whatever category you find yourself in, maybe you feel it's a constant thing, maybe you think it's just a one-off or situational thing. Either way, the way forward is first and foremost, we have to repent. And that repentance involves confessing my sin to God of complaining and grumbling. God, I am sorry. This has grieved you. Please forgive me. Set me free from the fiery serpents that have been attracted to my complaints and my grumbling. Purify and change my heart. Heal my heart while I have been hurt or wounded by others or the fiery serpents. And you welcome the Holy Spirit to come in and fill that space where the complaints and the grumblings once were. We ask the Holy Spirit, give me perspective to empower you to respond differently from now on. And then once we repent, we just come in that opposite spirit like he talked about on the video. And we give thanks and we give praise to God. We start doing the very opposite of what we have been doing. So if there are particular situations that you've been complaining and grumbling in, you need to bring those situations before the Lord and say, I'm sorry for my complaints. I'm going to thank you and praise you over them today now. If you have been complaining about your finances, maybe today is about giving thanks and praise for what you do have, and maybe even giving sacrificially in the opposite spirit. Or maybe it's people that you've been grumbling about or struggling with or complaining about. And so you need to come before God in worship and begin to bless those people and pray for those people. Maybe it's a circumstance that you've been complaining about and grumbling about, and so you need to thank God for what he's doing in and through that circumstance and situation to mature you, and that it is for your good. Maybe it's your health you've been complaining and grumbling about. And today, it's about entrusting yourself to him afresh, thanking him for the parts of your body that are healthy, thanking him for maybe for a revelation of why you are sick that he wants to release as you let go of the complaints and the grumbles and you come to him. Scripture that he spoke about in Psalm 104 is what I'd like us to close with. Can we have that on the screen? Sorry, I need the last PowerPoint, please. Scripture, Psalm 100. Oh, sorry. Can't even read it anyway. Maybe that's why I didn't put it up. All right. Can we say this together? Why don't we stand? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. And his love and mercy endures forever. His faithfulness and truth continue through all generations. Before we go there, let's just bow our heads and pray right now. And if there are situations, grumblings and complainings that you need to bring before the Lord, I invite you to do that right now. Heavenly Father, we just bring our grumblings and our complaints, the things that you have highlighted to us today. And we want to say, we are sorry. Just ask him to forgive you as you bring him before the Lord right now. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Jesus, would you set me free from any fiery serpents who've been attracted to my complaints? God, would you come and purify and change my heart right now? As I give the complaints to you, as I give the grumblings to you, I know you will replace it with your presence and your spirit, and thanksgiving and praise will begin to rise up in my own heart. Lord, come and heal hearts where it's needed today, where they've been hurt or wounded in situations and circumstances, or they've been wounded by the fiery serpents. Lord, I ask that you would come and heal our hearts today as we lift our eyes towards you afresh. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and just release your presence, release your power for us to even just worship you today. Release your power in us to praise you and to thank you and to sing like never before. Holy Spirit, we need you to move in our hearts today. And Father, I want to thank you right now that I can declare over your people that have confessed their sins today that you have been forgiven by God. If you confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We claim that promise right now, Lord. We claim that cleansing and that purification and that forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness, and thank you for your unfailing love that you bring your word to us. You correct us when we need it so that we can step further and further into your presence and into the joy of who you are. in our lives. Lord, I ask for a release of joy today. We release joy as we worship you. That the joy of the Lord would be our strength in this place. That the spiritual fruit of joy would begin to rise up within our hearts and explode out of us as we worship you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The worship team's going to lead us now, and I encourage you to just to respond with giving your heart to worship and prayer today. We're going to start as an act of worship by taking our offering. So if the offering, people can just begin to bring the bags around. We're going to take our offering and say, God, we give to you as a first act of worship and praise and thanksgiving. Thank you for how you provide for us. Thank you for the money that we do have. Thank you for how you're teaching us to be good stewards of your money. Thank you for your provision in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that wherever there is lack, that you are at work to provide even now in ways that we cannot see. Thank you, God. We just offer these tithes to you out of a heart of gratitude for what you have done for us in and through Jesus Christ, for who you are as our great and faithful God. Receive them and help us to use them for your glory and your kingdom here in this place. In Jesus' name. As we're worshiping this morning, if the Lord's been speaking to you and you really feel like you need more prayer in response to this word, we invite you to come forward and someone will pray with you and for you as we're worshiping. But please don't neglect to thank God and praise God yourself, because that's what's going to bring the breakthrough in your own heart. Your own heart giving thanks. Your own heart thanking God for his love that remains and goes on and on and on and on. Are you ready to give him thanks? Are you ready to praise?